and most everybody who professes to believe on Christ understands something of the fact that a person whose life is ruled by the lusts of their flesh is carnal. They're fleshly. If they're ruled by the lewdness of sin, by those just given over to the lewdness of sin, we can understand that they're carnal, they're fleshly. If someone is ruled by the pursuit of personal gain, they're covetous, they're worldly, we can understand that is carnal, that's fleshly, that's to be ruled by the flesh. But the Apostle Paul declares throughout the book of Galatians that it's just as carnal and it's just as fleshly when the law is the motivator, when the law is the controlling rule of a religious man's life. It's carnal. It's fleshly. The papists say this. They say that the Spirit of God comes to a sinner in grace, or that before the Spirit of God comes to a sinner in grace, any good work that's performed by the sinner is able to secure God's grace so that God will come to him and reward him for that, and so that man is he's merited that grace. That's not grace at all. And they say likewise that after the Spirit has come, that a man by his works, by his law obedience, that he can by that merit God's grace to continue rewarding him in grace. That too is a work of the flesh. That's not grace at all. Both of those are error, whether it's before Christ come or after Christ come. But that's the same doctrine that many yet hold concerning sanctification. Throughout this epistle in Galatians, Paul's dealing with the issue of sanctification. After that, a sinner is born of the Spirit of God. This is what he's dealing with, given faith in Christ. I want you to notice some key phrases here. Galatians 2:18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Look at Galatians 3:3. Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? See, we're talking about after God's begun a work of grace in our heart. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 25. Galatians 3:25. But after that faith has come, you see this? After that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Look at Galatians 4, verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again back to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Look at Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You see, we're talking about after that God has begun a work of grace. We're talking about after we've been freed from the law. We're talking about not going back again. Not going back under it. Now look back. I want you to see in Galatians 1, verse 6, what Paul calls this error. I marvel, he says, Galatians 1:6, that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, here's what I want you to see. The Spirit of God, through Paul, is declaring that righteousness Now understand something about righteousness. Righteousness, that which is right. Righteousness of justification, of being made the righteousness of God, of being cleared of all sin, the righteousness of justification, and the righteousness of sanctification, of being separated, consecrated to God, made holy. Both of these are of the Lord. Both of the Lord. The triune God of glory given to the believer. And the believer lives by faith. That's how it's begun. That's how it continues. And that's how it'll be finished. We live by faith. By faith. Turning not again to the works of the law. Now, Galatians 3, chapter 11 will be our text. Verses 11 and 12. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about justification and sanctification. I want to talk to you a little bit then about the law not being of faith, and then talk to you about the just living by faith. All right, here's a word about justification. He says here, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Well, justification is to be made righteous before God. It's to be perfect with God, having never sinned, having nothing against you, never ever one transgression having been committed, nothing that could be brought up by God Almighty toward you that could ever condemn you whatsoever. Now, the work was done by the decree of God in eternity. Look over at Romans 8. Let's look at this. Romans 8. And look at verse 29. Romans 8, 29. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, when was this done? Ephesians 1 tells us that God the Father blessed us with all spiritual blessings according as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Everything we just read right here is included in all spiritual blessings, justification included. How can that be? Because the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Because Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When Christ entered into covenant with the Father, when the Son entered into covenant with the Father, he became surety for the people, so that God the Father trusted all the works into the hands of his Son. And because his Son is God, and because he is surety, that is, he is sure to come and do what he promised. He's God. He's God. And because God is one and of one mind and nobody can turn him, God rested. God the Father first trusted in Christ, and he rested from all his works from before the foundation of the world, so that his people were justified in Christ, blessed in Christ, set apart in Christ, holy and accepted in Christ before the world began. Now, the promise that was made of God to Christ, that covenant of works that came about in the garden after God made the world and put Adam therein, and put Adam gave him that law, and Adam broke it. That law didn't change anything. It didn't disannul the promise that God made to the Son. So this thing was done before then. I know people will hear that, and they'll say, well, that's a slippery slope. Do you mean slippery slope, or do you mean stumbling block? Which one? Which one? This is not a slippery slope to a believer. This is all my hope. This is all my hope that this thing's ordered and sure because God ordered it, and it's sure in Christ my surety. I'm able to believe God. He was justified. When he died, he went to be with God. Enoch did. Noah did. Abraham did. When as yet Christ hadn't even come in the flesh and died at Calvary's cross and laid down his life. How so? Through the forbearance of God. They were justified in Christ before he ever came forth. Now we need to get hold of that. God's eternal. He's eternal. And his decrees are eternal. All right, now the judicial act of this justification took place when Christ came forth. When he was delivered up to death, he willingly laid down himself, and he was made a curse for his people, and he bore the condemnation himself on behalf of his people. Look here at Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Now, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, Jew and Gentile, those that he chose in Christ. He was reconciling them to himself, and he did that long before you and I ever believed on him. And he was raised again for our justification because he had accomplished it, because it was done. He was raised again, declared the work is finished. It's accomplished. Now that happened before me and you ever believed on him, didn't it? Just like Abraham believed on him before it ever happened. And he was justified. Well, before you and I ever believed on him, we were justified in Christ. All right, then when he gives us faith in Christ, when he comes in the Spirit power and he gives us faith in Christ, we received justification already accomplished. That's what we did. Listen to this. Over in, let me read this to you. Hold on just a second. Romans 5:9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. This came to us, brethren, when God gave us faith. Faith didn't do anything. Faith didn't add to what Christ did. Faith didn't make Christ work to have saving effect. Christ didn't make the work to be finished. Christ made the work to be finished. Faith receives what Christ has done. Whether it's before given to Abraham, faith believed what Christ would do. And he was accounted to him for righteousness. And afterwards, it shall be imputed to all those who believe. We believe him. And that righteousness said of Christ, we behold, it's the fruit of that which Christ did. Faith being given to us is the effect of what Christ accomplished. Not the other way around. Not the other way around. All right, now, here's the fourth thing I want you to see, and this I want you to pay particular attention to. Justification is spoken of in the sense of our works manifesting that our faith is genuine faith, that we really do believe God. This is how James mentions it. Look at James 2, or how he speaks of it. James 2, look at verse 21. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works? Now, it's not talking about justification that Christ accomplished. It's talking about he believed him. Now, watch. When he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar, see how faith wrought with his works, and by his works was faith made perfect. Faith was made to be proven to be genuine faith. It was the ruling, motivating, controlling of his inward man. Abraham believed God. He believed God. He offered up Isaac, and it was a work of faith. He believed God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. He believed God. And so he what God called him to do, he did. Look at verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. It was shown that what God said was so. God said, he believes me. And it was manifested by what he did. He believes on me. So you see then how that work by works a man's justified, not by faith only. Now, tell you why I point that last point out. The word justification used in that sense, that a man's justified by his works, this is what the Galatian brethren were being compelled, how they were being compelled to mix law with grace. Now you, by your works of the law, by you being circumcised, and by you keeping the law of Moses, you'll prove you really believe God. You really believe God. Paul's not confounding here. He's not confounding the doctrine of justification and the doctrine of sanctification. But here's what the truth is. In the context here, Paul is talking about sanctification. He's talking about that we're not sanctified by our works, by the keeping of the law. That's not how we're sanctified. That's what he's declaring here. And he's showing us here that we're not sanctified by our law keeping any more than we're justified by our law keeping. Would you say you were justified with God because you've kept the law? Well then, if we're not justified by the law, are we sanctified by the law? This is what the point Paul's getting at. To be under the law for justification is to be bound to fulfill it completely and continually, every particular point of it, because the law says, do this and thou shalt live. This is what he's quoting here from the law in verse 13. Verse 12. The law is not of faith. The law says the man that doeth the law shall live by it. If you do it, you'll live by it. Well, to be under the law as a means of sanctification, it says the same thing. You've got to do it continually, completely. Do this, and you'll be sanctified. Look at what Paul says. Look at verse 3, Galatians 5:3. I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he's a debtor to do the whole law. This is after you've believed on Christ. You believe on him now, and then you think somehow now you believe on Christ, but now you're going to be made something more than what you are in Christ by something you do. Well, then Christ is going to profit you nothing. You're on your own completely, as if you've never even heard of Christ in the beginning. All right? Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You getting what I'm teaching you? You getting this? Are you with me? You can't be cleared of your sin and made righteous with God, justified. It can't be made so that you never sinned before if today you just pick up and start keeping the law. Neither after you behold that Christ is all and is all your justification and has made you the righteousness of God in Him, you can't be made more than what you are in Christ by your works of the law. You cannot do that. Both are turning from Christ. That's what they were trying to get them to do. They were trying to get them to turn from Christ, from Mount Zion to Mount Sinai. They were trying to get them from being sons of God to servants. They were trying to get them from being free men to back in bondage. They were trying to turn them from faith to works. They were trying to turn them from Christ back to themselves. This is what Satan is ever trying to do to a sinner. He has been trying to do this from the beginning. He used the law in the beginning and said, has God said if you eat that or that fruit, you'll die? Oh, you won't eat it. Go ahead and eat it. And then soon as he ate it, he said, now if you don't stop eating that, you can't be righteous with God. If you stop eating it, though, you can be justified. Oh, and if you don't ever touch again, you can get more holy. That's all the work of Satan. That's a lie spawned in hell. If God, if salvation's of God, of the Lord, that's what it is. It's of the Lord. All right. Faith doesn't work by law. Faith works by love. That's what it works by. It works by love. Let's look at Galatians 5:6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith working by love. Now, that's a word about justification and sanctification. Now, let's talk about the law being not of faith. It's not of faith. Let's just look at what the Scripture says about the law. Look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. Paul says that the Lord made us able ministers of the New Testament. That's the covenant of grace. Not of the letter. Not of the law of Moses. Not of the works of the law. But of the Spirit, for the letter killeth. You see that? This is what the law does. It kills. Paul said, I was alive once before God came in spirit and I heard what the law was saying. I thought I was alive by the law. But when it came, I died. It killed me. It killed me. Why? Because verse 7 calls it the ministration of death. That's what it was for. It's called in verse 8, verse 9, the ministration of condemnation. That's what it was for. It's that word that's going to make you behold that what you are and what I am is sin. And what we are is death. That's what it was given for. Look down there at chapter 3, Galatians 3. Look down there at verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? Why was it given? Now he's saying here that Abraham was justified. He was saying Abraham walked with God. He was saying Abraham was the friend of God. He was saying the works that Abraham did manifest that he truly believed God. But the law that was given at Mount Sinai wasn't given for 430 years later. Well, why was it given? What does the law serve? Look at verse 19. It was added because of transgressions. It was given that sin might abound, that it might make sin to appear to be what it is, sinful. The Ten Commandments tells you more in depth and with more clarity what that one transgression was in the garden. That's what it was in the garden. That's what happened. It tells us more of how abundant sin is and how awful sin is and how sin killed us and how sin made us dead and how sin made us so that we couldn't come to God. But now look at verse 19. It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. See what I said to you in the beginning, that this thing was done before God made a grain of sand, because this thing was, the covenant was made to Christ. That's what he said there when he said these promises were made not of seeds as of many, but to thy seed which is Christ. It was made to Christ. And the law was given, and the law was given for because of transgressions till Christ should come to whom the promise was made. Christ is coming. He came, he was coming to fulfill, undo everything Adam did. And he was coming to make his people the righteousness of God in him. Christ is made unto us wisdom and redemption. But he's also made unto us righteousness and sanctification. You see what I'm saying? He's everything to the believer. Everything to the believer. All right? And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. You know how that Moses wasn't God. Moses was a man. And God gave that law to Moses. And the law came by Moses. And just like Moses stood there between the people and God, the law, the offended, broken law of God, stood between every one of God's elect people and Christ and God. It stood between us, so we couldn't come to God. But Christ is God, and he is man in one. And in him, there's nothing between God, nothing to block God and the believer. Nothing between us anymore. Now we're one. Now we're together. Now there's nothing hindering us together. We're together. Absolutely together. Look down there at verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we may be justified by faith. How is it a schoolmaster? Well, look down at chapter 4, verse 1. The heir, as long as he's a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of everything. You see, that's what God's elect were from the beginning. God's elect, when you're born into this world, if God chose you to put you in Christ, you're an heir of everything. But you don't know it yet. And you don't differ from a servant, though you're heir of everything. You're a slave in bondage under the law. You're under the curse of it. You can't be righteous by it. You can't be holy by it. You can't be anything by you at all. You're a servant bound under that law. You're under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. That's what a child is. Though he's going to be the heir. You get this now. You children, one of these days, you're going to inherit what belongs to your father, to your earthly father. But right now, you're children, and you're treated just like a child. Well, that's what we were under the law. We were under tutors and governors. The law was like a schoolmaster. Every time we'd try to do something, the law would say guilty. Every time we try to think a good thought, the law would say guilty. Every time we try to think we'd done something by our works, the law would say guilty. And it kept telling us guilty, 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 guilty. But verse 4 says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you're no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And then what happens? Look back up there at chapter 3, verse 23. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. But look at verse 25. But after that faith is come, we're no longer under that schoolmaster. Who is this faithful one? He just said it's Christ. And when Christ came, there has to be the death of the testator for the inheritance to be given. And when Christ came, and he died. But he rose again. And now, when he rose, he justified his people. He reconciled his people unto God. And then when he comes into the heart in spirit, he doesn't use He doesn't use the law. He doesn't use Moses to teach you what He's going to teach you. He comes in spirit in your heart. Not through another. Not through the law. Not through something else. He comes personally, directly, and He makes the application in the heart, and Christ is formed in you, and you become alive, and you behold, now there's nothing between me and my Lord. There's nothing between me and my Savior. There's nothing between me and my God. I've been made one with Him, and He did it all. Everything. Everything. That just like that law was between God and His people. Just like Moses stood there between God and the people. Everything. Let's just go back to the one transgression. That one transgression kept us from God. It stood between us and God. But Christ came. He gave that law. He gave 600 and something laws on Mount Sinai through Moses. You can't grow your beans with your corn. That's right. You can't plant a corn stalk and plant a bean stalk beside it, so because it saves you the work of going out and cutting a bean pole and stabbing it in there by that bean pole so it can run up that bean pole. Instead, you just plant your bean right there by your corn and you let it run up your corn so that your corn and the beans are growing together. And now you've saved yourself a whole lot of work. And they grow together. The law forbids that. You can't do that. You can't put out your money for usury. You can't lend it and get interest from it. And you can't put it in the bank and get interest from it. Can't do it. Can't withhold the wages that belong to a man so you can draw interest on his wages until payday and pay him. You got to pay him as soon as the day is done. You see what I'm saying? If we try to keep one law, we got to keep the whole law. You want to be holy by the law? You want to say that by the law you've become something more than what Christ has fulfilled? Dung, Paul said. Dumb. Not at all. But Christ came and He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and nailed it to His cross. And then He comes in spirit and He says, now, I'm yours and you are mine. And when He does this and He fills the heart, you're led of the Spirit and you're no more nor led of the flesh. Let me give you this in Isaiah 48:17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. How does Paul put that? Galatians 5:18. If ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. There's not anything between you and God anymore. Anything. Nothing. This is what John Bunyan said. You're not now bound by the authority of the law to fulfill it and obey it so as to have no salvation unless you do so. Not at all. If you transgress against one jot or one tittle of it, there's no more power in it by which it can condemn you. Because you're not under the law, you're under grace. You're under the direct dominion, the direct habitation, the direct leadership of God Almighty, the Holy One, the Spirit of God. Alright, now I want to end with this. I want you to see this third thing. The just shall live by faith. And I want you to look these up with me as much as you can. If you can't, jot them down and go back and look at the notes. But look at this. Hebrews 11:6. Now this is what the Scripture said. Our text said, No man's justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident. The just shall live by faith. Well, it's how we start. It's how we continue. This is where we end. We live by faith. And the law's not of faith. Law's not of faith. We walk, our rule is faith. That's what it is. All right, let's see. The rule by which a sinner approaches God, what is it? It's faith. Look at Hebrews 11, 6. He says here, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if we're going to come to him, what's the rule by which we come to him? Faith. All right, look at Romans 5:2. Romans 5:2. Faith is the rule by which we have access into all the grace wherein we stand. Not through law, it's by faith. Look, Romans 5:2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Faith is the rule by which we walk. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Well, look at Matthew 21:22. Matthew 21:22. Well, if we pray to God, ask God's mercy, do we need to come to Him and plead our works? Do we need to come to Him and plead the law? Well, what's the rule of coming to God and asking God for His mercy? Matthew 21:22. In all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. You see that? This is the rule of our prayer, believing. All right, look at Acts 13:39. This is going to reinforce what I said at the beginning. But look at Acts 13:39. What Paul's saying to us, faith is the rule of justification. Acts 13:39. By Him, by God, by Christ, through the Spirit of God, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. All right. What about sanctification? You're going to have a tough one there, Clay, proving that. All right, let's see about that. Acts 26:18. Acts 26:18. The Lord came to Paul and he said, I'm delivering you, Paul. You know what delivering him meant? It meant sanctifying him. It meant doing in his heart what he'd done for him in the election of grace, what he'd done for him when he sanctified him by his one offering on the cross, what he'd done for him here by the Spirit. He delivered him. Look at verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You see that? It's the rule of sanctification as well. Now, one more. John 5. John 5. Well, we're going to have to be raised one day. We're going to have to be raised one of these days. We're going to be raised by the works of the law. John 5:40. What's our rule of everlasting life and resurrection in the last day? John 5:40. Well, let me see. All right, John chapter 6, verse 40. John 6:40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth, as faith, believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now that's the rule of our life from beginning to end. The just shall live by faith. That's how we live. That's how we live. All right, now what's the conclusion of the whole matter? Look back now at Galatians 6. Paul said this. He said, if you circumcise, turn to the law for righteousness, the righteousness of justification, the righteousness of sanctification, Christ will profit you nothing. Absolutely nothing. Come to Christ. You hear me? Listen now. Come to Christ. Believe on Christ. And once you've come to Christ, keep coming to Christ. Unto whom coming? Keep coming to Christ. Run the race looking to Christ. I've thought of this on the way over here. We see these runners. Running's popular these days, you know. I've been running some myself. And when you run, you know what you do when you run? You see them. They'll run and they'll come up to an intersection. They'll slow down and they'll be looking at a watch. You run and you start feeling your legs and your muscles hurt, you know, and you think about that. You run and your lungs start feeling like they're about to blow up. You're thinking about that. And you start thinking about yourself. He said, run the race set before you, looking not to yourself, not to your weaknesses, not to your strengths, not to anything of yourself at all. Look to Christ. By faith. Run it by faith. He's the author and finisher of faith. And this is what Paul said. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, and remember this about your brethren, remember this about yourself. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Being born of God, in the heart, made new by God. This is what matters. Verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule. That's what we're talking about, this rule of faith. Peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Amen.